return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
Praise God. Hey, you can't help but not get saved when Pastor Kev's preaching at all. I'm telling you. It may sound like old hell, like, they all prayed again. Now, you ought to be there once. You can't help it. I'd have to get saved all over again.
Yeah, thank you.
Just sitting in front of us.
A slight conviction right there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very fun.
It is. I tell you what, God's moving. Things are happening. It's a great environment for that. It just really is. You got a captive audience, definitely. No pun intended. But they're not going anywhere. Some of them might be just coming in there to get the stink off there from the cell. You know, kind of stinky with a bunch of guys. Jails are stinky. Don't go to jail unless you're going to minister. Is that right, Bob and Ann?
Yeah.
They come in there, they're stinky. But they're looking. I don't care if they're looking just to pass a little time or whatever, but I tell you, they get both barrels when that dude preaches in there.
Amen.
Holy smokes. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your word and just ask you, bless it, Lord. Just do a work inside each and every one of us. And we're so grateful and thankful for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we'll see how this goes tonight, how long it lasts or whatever. But I want to talk about just I'm not ashamed. All right? Praise God for I'm not ashamed. And obviously the verse goes along with that, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile.
Amen.
So no respecter of persons. I tell you what, God's just looking for people to believe in Him and serve Him and just desire the things of His Word, just to desire a relationship with Him, to get close with Him, to become one with Him. And I tell you once, once you begin to develop that, pretty soon you hit that point of I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
You know, and it's not just something you do. You're not going to church because your mom and dad forced you to or whatever. You know, it might start out that way as a kid. You kind of drag them kicking and screaming and everything. And, you know, you're going to get them there one way or another. But sooner or later in life, they come around.
Amen.
And even if they don't come around, even if it seems like they go away, I tell you what, at least they got that good stuff in them because you drug them to church.
Right.
And you got some good seed in them. God's got something to work with. Holy Spirit's got something to speak to them with when they're in a tough spot in life. He can work to you. You can talk to them. Things can grow.
Yeah.
Man, and all of a sudden, it's like they come to themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to go home.
That's it.
Man, my dad's got servants and everything.
Oh,
why am I sitting here eating the slop with the hogs?
Right.
What a pitiful place to be in.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going to go back to my dad. I'm sorry, Dad. Just make me as one of your servants. I'm not even claiming to be your son.
Yeah.
Just make me a servant.
That's right.
Just let me back in.
An employee,
whatever. Doesn't the Bible say that? It says better to be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord for a day
Amen.
And than to dwell in the tents of wicked for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Just something to be said about being in a place of warmth and safety and being well fed and watered and just peace.
Amen.
So always come running back to God. Even if you're out there and you think you've blown it so bad or whatever, just come on back.
Amen.
He'll take you right now.
Yep.
Take you right now. I don't care what you've done.
Amen to that, Frank.
Praise God.
Amen.
So then as you believe that, you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what does an unashamed life look like? What's it look like? What happens? What are some of the characteristics of and not living an ashamed life, an unashamed life?
Right.
You know, what are they? And then obviously the fruit of the Spirit and everything would answer a lot of that. But I'm gonna kind of brag on my kid a little bit here tonight.
Yeah.
One, we just had a wedding a couple weeks ago. Jordan got married.
Yeah.
And I could do this to all my family, but because that's the most recent, it's the most, you know, and all that good stuff, and we just came out of that environment, and everything's all kind of fresh, and you want to talk about stuff when it's fresh, right? But anyway, so a couple weeks ago, we got married to an amazing young lady, just a super little gal. She's about that tall, and I tell you what, she is so talented. This little gal, she just whips out stuff. She's an artist, she's an art teacher, different things like that, but... Just like for the wedding and everything, she's just making all this stuff, all the stuff, all the garland, the pictures, all them little things, you know, that were on there. Everybody that came to the wedding, she made up all these little characters in this round little thing, little stick bodies and whatnot, and facial features were, you could tell who they were. She did that in like one night. It was amazing. She just put so much effort into it. She reminds me of a hummingbird. A hummingbird, I think, I got to do a study on this because I love stuff like this, but I think a hummingbird's wings go like 600 times a second. It's incredible. Now, if it's quite that much or not, but you guys, it'll all be Googled, fact-checked by the time I'm done. Good. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. But it's a lot. But anyway, that's what she reminds me of. Just, even when she's standing still, it's like you're doing 1,000 miles an hour. Just things are just happening, going. Things are just flying out of there. You know, it's like, holy smokes, you did that? Yeah. Painting pictures, making cards, doing all these things. But she loves the Lord. Absolutely loves the Lord. Man, and I'm just thrilled about that for him. So God brought all that together. But just raising Jordan and everything, you know. I'm thankful for all my kids. I want to say that for sure. Love each and every one of them. They're just beautiful. I'm so thankful. And I'll talk more about that as we go too. But Jordan was just, you know, just raising him. Just brought him to church for decades here. Just decades. You know, and he just took the word in and he took it in and he just really took it to heart. And it just settled. And he was just always so calm. Just a thinker. You know, and just taking it at face value and has got questions and everything. But just taking it in. And he grew with that and he just, you could just see it so evident in his life. I mean, beyond me, I would almost feel like, you know, wow, man, I can do better. You know what I mean? Right. You like to be around people that just make you feel like, I can do better. Not better than them, so to speak, but I can do better than I'm doing right now.
Right. Yeah.
Challenge yourself type deal.
Right.
You know, and that's just kind of the way I kind of feel. I'd do something and be like, man, he wouldn't do that probably, but maybe I better shape things up a little bit or whatever. But anyway, it just brings the good out of you being around individuals like that. So anyway, he was a lot of fun to raise and everything like that, and just took the things of God. And not saying he's perfect, not saying the rest of my kids are perfect. I am sure not perfect. And any one of us that think we are, we don't really have to look too far to realize that we've blown it someplace or not. You know, so we never want to point our fingers or have such high standards that nobody can attain to them. But God just got good stuff in store for each and every one of us if we just plug into Him. And Grace, equally so, the same. I didn't know her, obviously, when she was growing up, but I talked to her mom and everything, and I know the environment that she was brought up in. But just loves the Lord. Just loves Jesus. Just loves Jesus with all her heart. You know, and so just the qualities that are so evident in that, just the way they conduct themselves and everything, it's just like they're old people. I mean, just in the wisdom. Not old physically, but the wisdom that they have is just like, you know, the Word of God will just make you wise beyond your years.
Yes, it will.
You don't have to go reinvent the wheel. You don't have to fall into every pit out there and struggle through it, and hopefully you climb out of it. And you can say, boy, son, don't fall in that pit. That was terrible. Well, Dad, how come you didn't know the Bible, so you didn't have to fall into it, so I don't got to follow you falling into it?
That's right.
So you just use the Word, and it makes you wise, and you can live unashamed because of the Word that's in you. So anyway, we got these two individuals that are surrendered to God, you know, loving the Lord and everything. Again, not perfect, but basically just loving Jesus.
Yep.
So here they are. They're going to school. And, you know, college guys and gals and everything, and us older folks, we've all been through it too. You're wondering, who's the one for me out there? I know there's one out there.
Right.
My heart's a-burning. I know there's a gal or guy out there for me. The Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart.
Right.
And I think if He really plants something in there that you want to espouse, well, you probably don't have the gift of Elijah or the gift of whoever. The gift of not being married. Celibacy, thank you. I just go up here sometimes. It's like something just sucked everything right out of my head. So you got to work with me. I know I shouldn't say that, but that's the way. Yeah, see, I'm trying. All right. Anyway. So, yeah, you don't have that gift. If you got a desire to get married, I think God's going to answer that thing.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you've got that desire, automatically you're praying for the right spouse, right?
Right.
Lord, bring somebody by.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord. Get somebody in here. Boy, I shouted that prayer out a number of times, I know. Praise God. So here they are. You know, they're praying. They're just seeking out the Lord on what's happening. You know, and it's getting up through college. You go through college, you got 4 years of college in. And I remember one time, and Jordan's pretty calm about all the time. But he comes, we were just talking one time, and he goes, "Dad, I'm about ready to graduate." And I haven't, well, I've met girls, but I haven't met the girl.
Right.
He said, "You know, it's going to get a lot less slim. It's going to be pretty slim pickings around here pretty soon. Because I'm going to be gone, they're going to be gone. And, you know, you got to be around people to meet people."
Right.
That's the way we think a lot.
Sure.
That's human type thinking. And you do want to just put yourself in a good environment. You want to meet a good girl? Well, go to church. That's a good place to start right there. I can help you out a lot right there. Cut the bar scene out. Just go to church.
Amen.
Find a good one right there. And girls, too, don't go looking in bars for guys that just get used and beat up and tossed to the curb. Go find a good guy in church.
Amen.
Go find one that loves the Lord, that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And you'll have a guy that'll love you. He'll take care of you. He'll give himself for you. He won't be out chasing all the time. He won't be doing this. He won't be doing that because he loves the Lord.
Yep.
And he'll love you, and you'll be like, "Oh, I didn't know guys like that existed." They do. Not because of them, but because of God. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Praise God. I mean, gosh, look for the good stuff. Set your standards high.
Yep.
Get them up there. God's got good things aimed at you. Don't settle for something. All people have worth. I realize that. I'm not saying people are worthless, but man, don't live your half of your life getting beat up and abused and
yep.
when you don't have to.
Right.
Find good stuff. Go find something that God helped clean up. Praise God. All right. So anyway, here they are, 4 years going to the same school. And it comes down, and Jordan's like, "Dad, kind of slim pickings and everything." I said, "Yeah, I don't. What do you tell your kid? You know, you just got to keep trusting, Jordan. You've been doing it for all these years. Keep trusting." So here it comes down to the last week of school. And they're heading out. I mean, they're all graduating. They're getting out of there. And Jordan, you know, he's Mr. Hunter. That's probably how he keeps himself pretty busy, too. Just always go hunting. So anyway, he's dead tired. They've been out hunting or whatever that day. And he's dead tired. And he says, "Hey, we're having a bonfire," some of his buddies. And good guys he hangs around, too. And I mean, not all believers, but just good guys. And a lot of them are believers. But anyway, so they say, "Hey, we're going to go to bonfire. You want to come along?" Jordan's like, "Oh, man, not really." And he says, "All right, I suppose." And I don't remember all the specifics exactly how it went down, but I think he went to that bonfire, and I think maybe they still did. She was there too, but they still didn't meet because they didn't cross lines exactly right then. Anyway, it came down to, or maybe they met at the end of the night or something, but it came down to one day difference from, because she was going to take her final test, and she was going to go back home, and maybe she would have to come back and do something else a week later or whatever, but that she was leaving after that test. But maybe it was at the bonfire. So maybe she met Jordan at the bonfire that night or the next morning or whatever it was. And they met. And he just made an impression on her. She said, "The first thing I saw about him was his elbow," or something. I don't even know that whole story. But she saw, "I saw his elbow," and she said, "I just loved him. There was just something that I just knew this was the guy." And see, she got, and I'm definitely ad-lib here, but it was something along those lines. I mean, they got together and they just started picking each other's brain, and they just talked Jesus. And boom, 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 and pretty soon, man, I mean, it was rolling, and they just fell madly in love.
Very cool.
A day away from not ever seeing each other.
Yeah, isn't that something?
You know, so here you are. You put all this work and effort and everything into trying to find somebody, and kudos, and it works that way too or whatever, But God, here is God, you know, you're faithful all these years, you're praying, and pretty soon you're praying, and you think, "Is anybody up there?" It's almost to the point you almost get mad. But you don't, you step back, you go take a nap. "All right, Lord. I'm still relying on you. Let's see what happens here," or whatever. But you're just still faithful, you're still praying, you're not running away from God and everything. All of a sudden, God just drops something right in your lap. It only takes one. Only takes one. That's all you need. You aren't going to be married to 16 of them. So, hey, only takes one. So God just brings them across like that, and things just work, and praise God. Man, I tell you what. So the Lord just brought them together. So he gave them the desires of their heart. Absolutely did. Jordan, for the most part, just kept serving the Lord and waiting for the right gal. And God honored that as he lived an unashamed life. Jordan lived an unashamed life. He wouldn't apologize for the things of Christ. He wouldn't cover up the things of Christ. Wasn't out there blabbing it to everybody or anything like that, but just being a buddy to his buddies, those around him or whatever, just being friendly.
Yeah.
A man that's going to have friends must show himself friendly, it says in Proverbs. Yeah. So just being friendly like that. And as you do that, you're living an unashamed life. Yeah. And then Grace at college, she would pray with her friend for their future husbands. She'd witnessed to this gal and won her to the Lord and a number of gals. So I don't know if I got the exact one right or not, but they would, on bunk beds evidently at college or whatever, they would hold hands and they would pray. And they'd pray for their future husbands. Lord, protect them. Prepare them. Deliver them from evil. Help our paths cross someday. Lord, we're just putting this in your hand. So, wow, isn't that incredible? Takes all the nail biting out of it. All the frustration and the nervousness. Well, maybe the nervousness a little bit. But it takes all the anxiety out of the situation. Thank God for that. All she did, so Grace at college would pray with her friend for their future husbands, that God would prepare them, keep them safe. And God honored her and as she lived an unashamed life. Just living an unashamed life. Just doing the daily thing, just loving God, just living an unashamed life. So through all the years of praying and waiting, they both remained humble, calm, cool, collective. You could talk to them. They weren't bitter about anything or anything like that. They just talked to you, helped you. All this as they lived an unashamed life. When you live not ashamed, God can bring good things to you and put you in the exact place you need to be. Without you ever even being aware of it. Just as you live an unashamed life, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody asks you at work tomorrow, Herb, you're retired. George, you're in school. Steve retires. Anybody in here work?
I'll be here.
Ray, somebody, just kidding. Ray, somebody asks you tomorrow, Ray, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What would you tell them, Ray? Nope, that's right. Nope, I'm not. Ray, keep it nice and simple. He'd say, nope, I'm not. And then he'd elaborate some more. I'm not ashamed because this is what Jesus Christ did in my life. So as you live that type of lifestyle, calm, cool, collective, these things just begin to happen. God can bring things into your life. He can put you in the exact place that he wants you to be at that time, all without you even being aware of it. Why? Because you've given control of your life over to him. You have allowed him to be the one steering the vehicle. Called your life. Right?
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. And that's the safest place to be. So I think, anyway, the wedding was a complete success.
Yeah.
There are a couple little things maybe here and there, and I don't really know what that would be, but just a complete success. I just prayed, God, just your hand be in this whole situation, and I really believe he was. The Lord was lifted up through every segment of it.
Yeah.
Every segment of it. It's like, praise God. I mean, you could just feel the presence of the Lord there. When Jordan and Grace, they asked me if I would do the service, I was like, about that. I kind of get a little choked up once in a while. You kidding me? You think I'm going to be able to do your wedding? Do you want me up there doing that? I wouldn't be able to make it through this wedding. I didn't holler at him or nothing. But that's what I was thinking in my head. I was like, no, I really don't want to. No, we really want you to. No, don't do this out of sympathy. You don't have to have me do this. Really. I will not be offended at all. Zero offense here. But they said, no, we really want you to. I said, okay. Then I will. Got stretched. That's right. I mean, because there's a lot of emotion. I'm kind of an emotional guy anyway, but there's a lot of emotion in that situation. I'm like, holy. Thank you, Pastor Dave. I was like, ooh, you know. Anyway, so just a little bit about me. We did rehearsal the night before. And the kids all had, I could see them scheming in the background. They were at my place one time, and they were saying, psst, Jared, come over here. Aubrey, thank you, yeah. Come over here. This is family thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not invited.
I
could see exactly what they were talking about. See, Jordan and Grace, everything was laid out in this wedding. Jordan, he gets a spreadsheet out. Grace, I mean, I could show it to you. It's like, you're going to be here this time. This guy's going to be doing this. There was, you knew exactly where everybody was at any given point in time. This is where, exactly what should be happening. All laid out. So anyway, they were going through this roster, this itinerary. And I knew they were talking about, when's he going to break? When's he going to lose it? So they're taking odds of when I was going to lose it, when I was going to get choked up. I just kind of knew what was going on. I didn't say anything or anything. But I knew what was going on.
For sure.
Yeah, that's right. I still haven't asked what they thought exactly when or whatever. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, so they were taking odds when I was going to lose it. And so the practice the night before, yep, here it came. I was like, they're coming down there. They're just a rehearsal, just a few people there, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay, and I'm doing pretty good, and I'm reading through it. And my eyes water up. Whenever I get that, my eyes water up. I can't hardly see nothing, you know, and through these stupid glasses and everything. I'm like this. And then it came down to pronouncing a man and wife. And I'm like, couldn't do it. And I mean, did I just flat out ball, but I mean, I just couldn't talk. And so you could call it balling, I guess, or whatever. But I mean, I was really choked up. So I backed up, shook it off a little bit, and everybody's kind of having a heyday out there with it and whatnot. I come back, same thing happens again, and then I kind of fumble my way through it. So I knew the next day it was not going to be good. But praise God. Praise God. I think it was good to get it out of the way before in the rehearsal in that sense. And not that it's detrimental or anything like that. I don't want to. Jeannie said one time, boy, I don't got time for all this. I just got to explain a little bit. Jeannie said one time, you know, I said, I just can't help it. I can tell myself, don't get emotional. Don't do it. You can, man, and here it comes just like that. You know, and I always used to be this tough guy running around, you know, getting fights and just not handicapped people and stuff like that. I wasn't mean to. But anybody else, I mean, it was like a challenge or whatever. And that's just the way it was. That's that whole story about my dad saying, you ever pick on anybody that's handicapped, you're going to answer me. You know, so I just didn't. But somebody that thought they were real tough or whatever, then it was a whole different situation. But anyway, that's the kind of the way I was. And Jeannie said, you know, I think it's your Jacob's limp. I think God gave you a limp.
That's cute.
I thought, that is exactly what the deal is. It's him.
Yeah. I believe
it. It's
a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's a humbling thing.
Yeah.
It really is. It's my limp. Jacob, why'd you get that limp? Fought with God. Wrestled with an angel. So that's pretty cool. That's a whole other thing by itself right there. So praise God. So anyway, I can't help it. But hey, praise God. So anyway, that went well. Let me see here. I got to keep going. This was going to be a short one tonight. It still may be. We'll see what happens. So at the reception, all the bridesmaids and the groomsmen and everything took turns saying something about Jordan or Grace. There must have been 8, 9 of them, I think, each.
Yeah.
And they went through and they just started just saying, this is just in their own words or whatever. And I tell you what, as these young folks were getting up and sharing, it was amazing. It was just, you don't know what you've meant to my life. I was going through this. You saved my life. You pulled me up.
Yeah.
I was going through some stuff, and one time, or a number of times, Jordan, I just call with him, and he'd pray with me on the phone. And these guys,
yeah.
Everybody, I think it was maybe one for sure, maybe two people out of the whole works that didn't just lose it. Mm-hmm. Just being choked up, overwhelmed with emotion.
Yeah.
Just saying, I respect you, I look up to you, you don't know the impact that you had on my life. Just you're hanging in there, you're standing, you're not doing this or you're not doing that, you being available for me, you do, to both of them that way, equally. And they were just up there like this. Just amazed. All by living a life, not ashamed. That's what Brett was tying it all together. That's the whole thing, bringing it all together. Not because they're great in and of themselves or anything like that, but you become great because of God in you and not being ashamed of Jesus Christ in you and living for Him.
That's right.
That's who's great in the world.
Yep.
It isn't the politicians or the movie stars with the $20 million and this and that and more money and they know it. That's not who's great. That's not the heroes of the world. The heroes of the world are those that are living a not ashamed life for Jesus Christ. That's the true heroes of the world. So anyway, just accolade after accolade, and I was so amazed. And after they were all done saying all that, Jordan, he was just floored. He just said, I never knew people thought I was that good, because I sure don't think I'm that good. I can't believe you guys are all saying this about me. I'm not that good. I'm just a guy. Just a guy. You don't even know about it. You don't even know what you're doing when you're living a not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ life. Just how you're affecting people. Just the power that's going out from you. Not because of you, but because of who's in you. It just radiates. It pierces to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Goes right through the bones and the body of those around you, right to their souls. Just you walking in the room, not because you're anything, but because you're living and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Smith Wigglesworth, walk in the room, people just fall down. Just because of the presence of God. You're not even aware of it. George, man, I didn't think I was that good. And I'm not that good. Just humble. And Grace, she didn't even talk. She just, I can't believe it. I can't believe those people thought that. I just can't believe it. Just amazed by it. And another Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. Well, that was a great example of it that day. Not tooting your own horn or anything, but just all these individuals couldn't even make it through their speeches because they were so choked up. And these are kids. They're not all Christians. Like I know one of them, he just said, Jordan, you're just always there for me. And I just love these kids. Gosh, they're great kids. Some are just so close to the kingdom of God. And probably are, for all I know. I mean, just because of all the different things that happened. But for sure, that close. But just saying, I love you, man. Thank you for being there for me. Just beautiful. So all that going on. So just by being godly and living an unashamed life, you stand out. You absolutely stand out. You don't even know how God's influencing people around you in your lives. If you only knew. If you only knew. I spoke to several people afterwards. About everybody I spoke to. I didn't get a chance to speak to a lot of people, but one of them, he's another guy actually from Missouri, Lenita's uncle. He said, man, he's a Royal Rangers guy, just works with kids all the time. He's just crazy about kids, working with kids and stuff. And he goes, I could not believe it. And another guy, too, I'm going to include him on the situation. He said the same thing. He said, I cannot believe these young people. This is not a normal wedding.
Right.
Normal wedding's like, you remember that time we got so hammered and we went out, we didn't roll that garble. That's what most of the ting, ting, ting speeches are like and everything at weddings. They're like, I couldn't believe this. And her uncle said, I have so much material to work with right now. I have so many sermonettes, so to speak, that I can give to these kids. And then this other guy I was talking to, he's my age, super guy. He's just a super guy. Can't even say that he loves the Lord. But he has come up to me afterwards and says, man, Frank, I've never been to anything like that. I thought I was in a Southern church. I've never been to anything like that before. He said, you know what? I got to get right with God. I got to be a better husband. I really do. And he just leveled with me. So God was just moved, just like I said, right through to the soul, piercing to the dividing asunder, soul and spirit. So I was just so encouraged by all that. And he said, gosh, I know them kids, all them kids. I know all them boys up there. And I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud that they're not all just getting smashed and doing this and that and everything. He said, I didn't even know kids like that existed. I just said, there's a right there. So he couldn't get over it. So praise God for that. So you don't know the people that you're affecting that are hanging on your very existence, your words, and just you being there. You do not know the people. You might have an idea, but you don't know. If you started asking them all questions that worked around you, you'd probably be pretty amazed at the, what they would say to you. Just like, he's so nice. He's always there. He's always, maybe a smile. He's always there to listen. He's always there to help. Shows concern. Goes out of his way for this or that or whatever. You probably wouldn't even know what's all going on around you. But when you live a not ashamed life, it shows in all that you do. Not in a stank or arrogant kind of way. Like, look at me. Oh, I'm really something. That stinks. You don't want that type of stuff. There's preachers out there that are that way. Like, man, look at this. Is this smoking hot? Don't you wish you could be like this? They might not say it that directly, but that's what's going on in their head. That's an arrogant, stinky kind of way. That stinks. Run from that. Turn that guy off. You don't need to watch him on TV anymore. That stinks. So, when you live an unashamed life, it shows in all that you do, but in a way that you don't even know. Remember the ones that, when Jesus said, when I was hungry, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in jail, hospital, you came and visited me. You prayed for me. And they're like, when do we do these things? What do you mean? What are you talking about? And when you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And the other one said, when he said, no, you can't come into my heaven. The Lord said, no, you can't come into my heaven. They're saying, why? But Lord, we came and we did this, we did that or whatever. We cast out demons in your name. We raised people from the dead. We did all these things. And they thought they should get in because of their works. And these other people weren't even aware of their works.
Right. That's the difference.
And that's the one that God said was justified. Yep. That's the one that God said, this is your kingdom right here. Come in. The ones that went, when did we visit you? Right. Oh, well, you helped this little down and out guy right here.
Right.
He's going through a tough time in life. You helped him out.
Right.
And this one that was over in jail. You don't want to take your Sunday afternoon. Don't you know people, football games are going.
Sure.
Football games are on. You got she's excellent. She's got steaks on the grill. And you're going to a stinky jail? What's wrong with you? That's the way the world thinks. But when did I visit you in jail, Lord? I didn't see you in jail. Well, when you took that Sunday off and you went over and you visited me. Come on in. This is what the kingdom of heaven is prepared for. You're not even aware of your works. That's a not ashamed life. That's a not ashamed gospel of Jesus Christ life. Thank you, Lord. Almost done. You don't even know it. Don't even know you're doing it. You know, it's kind of like cologne. Cologne. I buy pretty good cologne. I like to smell good. And I like cologne that lasts. I don't like cologne. I put it on you. You go over there and pay this much. You get to take a bath in it and it seems like it's gone. But anyway, you put on cologne. You put a bunch of it on. About three squirts. Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that, Lord. I put on about three squirts. And I'm like, where is it? I smelled it when it was coming out of the bottle, when it went past my nose onto my chest. But I don't smell it anymore. Is this even working? Lanita, is this even working? You smell me? I do. I get kind of weird like that. You smell me? Yeah, I smell you. Because I don't smell me. So it's kind of like cologne.
Yeah.
It really is. You put a bunch of it on, and a few minutes later, you're not even to smell it. It's so frustrating. So sometime before I go, I'll put a couple more shots on there just in case. Because I don't think it's working. But those around you
that
come in contact with you hours later immediately smell you.
Sure.
They immediately smell you and they're aware of your presence. Because if you use the same cologne long enough, people will just know. Frank's here. But you won't meet because I got about six different kinds. So, but that's right. They'll know you by your smell. The fragrance will say in this way that you'll put off. Many will say, maybe give you a hug at church. We're kind of huggers and stuff here. They'll give you a hug and they'll say, you smell so good. And I'm like, I don't smell nothing. But thank you. Evidently, my $90 cologne is paying off. That's good. It's not a total waste of money. So you smell good, they say. You smell good when you live a not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ life. Man, do you smell good. Woo! And I'm not making that up. You smell good. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." Through us. So when you live and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ's life, you are just, you're pumping your, yeah, I tell you what, you smell good. You might not even know it just because you get, I don't want to say used to the things of God, but accustomed to His presence and everything. You walk into a room with somebody else that doesn't know God, they can go to a simple wedding and have a God encounter and never come out the same again just because it's so strange to them. It's like, wow, this is amazing. It's just the fragrance of God is in the place. Is that cool or what? That is what a not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ life looks like. We're a sweet smelling aroma and a savor. People are smelling you. They're aware of your presence. Hey, so don't be down on yourself. Just be proud of the gospel. And I tell you what, God will do mighty things in your life. Right? Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Yeah, you got to keep. They're such good. So you could go on all night. Praise God. So, Lord, we do just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can live a life not ashamed of you. That we, man, I tell you what, Lord, we just give ourselves over to you. We're giddy, Lord, that you would accept us into your kingdom and allow us to be your servants. Amen. That you put your presence in earthen vessels. You make us look good.
Yes.
Praise God. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for every individual in here and those that are listening. Lord, you just bless them and help them to know what a sweet-smelling savor they are.
Lord God.
First of all, to you and also to those that are around you. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done and you're going to do. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand, huh?
Amen.
He's a good God.
Amen.
Thanks for coming out.
Amen.
Have a super week.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.